Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Shogger, how you doing?
I'm doing good, boys. I'm always up for a true NHL hockey trade. I think that's always good for the game, and I like it.
That was good. It was surprising for sure. Kind of, quietly came out of nowhere, which doesn't surprise me if Lou Lamoriello is involved. You never saw anything leaked out of New Jersey, so that part of it's good. Who do you think wins the trade?
In terms of for what they're trying to do, both organizations, I think, probably did okay. I think the Leafs have gotten out from underneath a lot of money that they felt was going to be problematic over the next few years to do what they want to do and chase some big free agents and, rebuild a little bit. So I think the Leafs have done a pretty good job getting out from underneath some of these big contracts. So, I never liked the contract from the day Dion Phaneuf signed it. He's a good, honest defenseman, but not worth the money that they were paying him. And so the fact that they were able to move him without retaining any salary and without taking anybody on that was long, long term, I think the Leafs did a pretty good job here. But Phaneuf is a good defenseman and makes the Senators better.
Oh, for sure. He makes them better now. Maybe down the road that might be a contract that they don't love, but now it definitely makes them a better team. Edmonton Oilers, you can make the argument that it makes them a better team for one game having Justin Schultz in the press box based on how he's played.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what this Clendenning is all about. We'll get another look at him tonight and see if there's much of a difference in the quality of play, what he's capable of, and what Justin's been bringing.
How many turnovers do you think he has to make before you cross that threshold?
Yeah, that's a very fair point by you, Matt. Very fair. You've been beating that drum all week, Jason, about them needing to have a little bit more accountability for Schultz, that he should have been a healthy scratch earlier. I think that it wasn't done sooner for, reasons kind of outside of his play. I think there's some stuff going on trade-wise around Justin Schultz. I think it's kind of swirling about, and timing is kind of everything. So I think maybe scratching him the other night might have thrown a wrench into some things. But there comes a point where that, your lineup and what's going on needs to take, precedence over that or take priority over that. And I think that's probably what's happening here, though they're trying to move this player and wanting to move this player and wishing he would play better and add some sort of value. They got to do what's right for their lineup. And Reinhart needed to be sent to the American Hockey League. He was floundering. Nurse needed to get back in, and Schultz needed to come out. So all of those things happen, and we'll see if it elicits any form of better results tonight. Just by virtue of the fact that he makes $3 million less, Clendenning will perform better tonight.
Well, see, that's where, to me, the money really, it makes no difference. There's no, whether Justin Schultz gets paid regardless, right? So that's why, to me, the money's not the factor.
Well, but if you're paying somebody $4 million or close to $4 million, there's kind of an expectation of what you get from them. So if Justin Schultz is performing at $1.25 million at a price point of $4 million, then that's no good. And that's basically what he's been doing. So Clendenning might be a pretty similar player in terms of, I don't know that he is absolutely locked in going to be better than Justin Schultz has been, but he sure costs a lot less. And so I know they're paying Schultz either way, but if you're going to have somebody in your lineup playing third pairing minutes and on your second power play unit, you might as well pay him $1.25 million instead of, or less instead of the $4 million.
Well, yeah, long term, sure. But I was saying, for me, once you have contracts, if you grossly overpay the player, I believe it's your fault for saying, well, we're paying him $4 million, so we're expecting him to be a $4 million player. He's never proven ever that he was a $4 million player, ever.
Well, and he was signed by the last regime, right? I mean, he was signed by guys that aren't in charge anymore. So this is what Peter Chiarelli inherited. And they had hopes that Schultz would have a bit of a bounce back year. And they had hopes that he would earn the money. And they signed Klefbom to that deal, and Justin Schultz talked about, it being his turn to show them that he was worthy of a contract like that, and it's just gone completely the other way. So, I mean, if you look at – and I don't know, every general manager that takes a new job is inheriting some garbage. Like, he's inheriting some issues. Somebody just recently got fired because they made mistakes, and a new general manager inherits those. So what are the mistakes that he has most inherited? Well, Schultz contract for sure was one of them. Nikitin's another one. Fain's another one. Run down the list. Yakupov, Anton Lander. I mean, it's a bunch of guys that just have not panned out in any way, shape, or form. And it's his job to kind of maneuver his way around some of those mistakes. And if they can move Schultz and get any form of asset here, which I think they're hopeful they can do, it maneuvers their way around another mistake.
Ryan Oshog from TSN joins us. Todd McClellan, some interesting comments this morning after the morning skate in regards to, obviously there were some things that crept into their team's game he didn't like the last two, but then he brought up the leadership side of things, that since we made the change to the captaincy, we said we'd be watching. And that, to me, I'm curious how I'm guessing he would have addressed his players first, knowing Todd. He always would say that to them first and probably in a much different tone. But I think that's a real shot or challenge, I should say, because I don't think it's a negative thing to your players about, hey, wait a second, we need somebody to step up and grab this team.
Well, I mean, listen, they started the year and made the decision not to have a captain. When they got a true sense of where Andrew Ferentz's, place at the table was going to be, they decided to go sans captain. And so you understand why. Because in their minds, the guys making the decisions didn't know a lot of these players all that well and needed to learn them. Didn't want to make the wrong decision because it's an important decision. And so you hand a bunch of guys A's and you start getting to know them. Figure out what they're like as players, as leaders, as men, off the ice, at practice. You start a book on them. And now here they are 50-some games into the season, and that evaluation process continues. And to my way of thinking, this is Todd sort of reminding guys, like, look, I mean, we're looking for a leader. We're looking for a captain. And really, Taylor Hall's had a good year, but he hasn't had necessarily that. He showed spurts of it where it seems like he's on the right side of it and the body language is better and the attitude seemed good and all those things, but then he gets over on the wrong side of it again. And they're trying to figure out who the captain of this franchise is. And as of right now, I mean, I don't know what they're going to do next year, because as of right now, for my money, Connor McDavid is going to be the captain of this group, but it's too soon. And so it's kind of Todd letting everybody know, like, look, I mean, we're looking for a leader of this group. Who's going to grab this thing by the throat and be the guy here? And for guys who, I mean, Connor, it's likely that this thing ends up in Connor's hands, but some other guys can have something to say about that in the meantime. And I think Todd's maybe reminding guys of that. Like, look, fellas, there's stuff on the line here. And show some leadership, because we're looking for a leader.
Now, you mentioned you think it's too early for McDavid next season. How come?
I think because, I mean, listen, if they give him the C to start next year, he'll still be 19 years of age, and how many NHL games will he have under his belt?
50.
Like, missing half a season here was tough. I know they've given it to other young players, but, I mean, Connor's a little bit different than other guys they've given it to. I mean, Gabriel Landeskog, I mean, the beauty in Landeskog's game was, yes, he could produce offense at a good level, but he was such a well-rounded two-way player that if he wasn't producing offense, he was still a really good player for them out there. Jonathan Toews, same thing, an incredible two-way game that allowed him to lead even when the points weren't coming, right? Connor is a little bit different. And his two-way game is good, but he's an offensive weapon, and he's going to have all kinds of pressure to do nothing but produce offense. And I just don't know that, with less than 55 games under his NHL belt, that making him a leader of men at 19 years of age is the right thing to couple with that pressure to produce offense. And it just might be a little bit soon. So, had he played a full year this year and put up point-of-game pace or better and was, I think Connor has the characteristics. I see it in practice. I see it with the way he interacts with his team. I've seen a few things this year that clearly tell me who he is and what he's about. And I think he will be the captain of this team. But I think we need to be careful about giving it to him too soon. And after missing half this year, start of next season might be too soon. Now, by the end of this year, I might be singing a different tune. But I don't know, Matt. 19 years old, 50 games under his belt. Can you make him a leader of men like that?
Well, if he shows you enough, you certainly can. I was just going to ask you, do you think you wait then at the start of next season and maybe say Christmas time, second half of the year, after he's got, you know, another 35 games under his belt? Do you look at doing it then, if you don't feel he's quite ready at the start of the season?
Yeah, well, then what they have to do is they need to just go with four alternates at the start of the year, and he's one of them. And then you delay it and make your announcement later on that year. But it's a bit of a special season for them next year, right? You're building, franchise kind of turning a corner, and I think they would probably love to have, you know, the lid lifter with their captain and that photo opportunity. So from an organizational standpoint, there's better synergy to have it from the start of the year. But if it doesn't make sense with the player, you got to be careful there. So the other option would be to just have a stopgap guy, somebody who, can do it for me. And Matt Hendricks would be in the last year of his deal. Maybe it's just a stopgap guy to give Connor one more year to get his feet underneath him and get a year of NHL play under his belt. And then he clearly takes it at 20 years old going into, being a 21-year-old. But what you can't do, you can't give it to somebody and then rip it off their sweater. You can't give it to Nugent Hopkins or Everly or Hall or one of these other guys and then turn around and hand it to Connor a year later. And that's why they're in the position they're in right now. They didn't want to do that. And so, this leadership vacuum is a little bit, they don't have a C. They don't have a guy whose job it is to, for people to look to. And I know everybody will lead in their own way, but when you have a captain, and someone who really is the leader, that does mean something when you get into stretches like they're in right now. And for a 19-year-old to be trying to do it 50 games in might be a little much.
I'll be floored if he's not the captain. Moving on, one final one. Bobby Mack just tweeting this out. We'd heard some rumblings of it, but Johnny Gaudreau, Monahan, and Lance Boma all are going to be sitting out tonight for disciplinary reasons. And my sources tell me Shauger basically a little bit too much partying has been the issue.
Well, if you read Spec's article, if you read Spec's article and what Kiprios tweeted, if you're going to party with the boys, you got to get up with the men. That's the mantra that all hockey players and athletes live with, right, Matt? The deal. If you're going to party with the boys at night, you got to get up with the men in the morning, and that's just the way it is. So, you know what? Hey, young, rich, kind of a little bit dumb, professional athletes, this kind of stuff's going to happen. If it becomes a major habit, then there's problems, but I wouldn't say there's any massive alarm bells going off that guys under the age of 22 years old are maybe partying a little bit too hard with all their money and some time off. It's crummy for them. The organization doesn't need it. It's bad press, but I don't think it means that any one of them needs to be shipped out of town.
No, not at all. But it's something you don't see very often, for sure. And I think when your team is out of the playoffs, and I know that statistically everything else, I think it's a good time to send a stern message to your group.
Yeah, for sure. And it sounded like he had a bit of a day with his team. He was pissed off they weren't practicing properly, basically left the ice. He booted a guy off, booted Boma off the ice. Now he's healthy scratching guys while they're in dire straits from a playoff standpoint. Sometimes when you're developing young players in your organization, and I'm sure, Matt, you've seen this happen where young guys come in and they need to learn how to be professionals, and maybe they're high-end guys, and maybe it's not the best thing for the team on that given night, but the greater good is to send them the message that maybe resonates with them over the long haul. And if you look at the common denominator here, Monahan, Gaudreau, two very young players and upcoming stars. And I guess the message is more important than the win tonight. Tonight.
Yeah, and it that's exactly what it is they're looking beyond this game tonight, and they're looking to the future. And you want to nip something like this in the bud early. So if it's something that you see as a problem, then you have to deal with it right away. And this is certainly a message that's going to resound with those guys, because it's not just one guy, it's not just two guys. I mean, it's all three of them. And to have that message sent I can guarantee you it's going to impact those players, and they will not forget about that. And the time to do it is now. You're not, I don't think, absolutely killing your playoff hopes in this instance.
Especially because you're playing the American League version of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, so you don't, like, it's, if you're going to pick a time to do it, it makes sense that you're doing it now. So it, You know, you got to learn. And I played with guys who were able to go out and have more fun more often than other guys. I never was one of them. it always was like, if you are going to go have fun and you're going to go do your stuff, then you have to show up to practice, ready to work. And you have to show up to the games ready to play. And if you don't do it, then there should be consequences. It shouldn't matter who you are. And in this case, these young guys, this is their consequences. And good on Hartley for, being his normal heartless self and laying the law down.
Well, it's not like there's been a lack of time off lately. I mean, goodness sakes, Goodrow was just out as All-Star having a great time, I'm sure. And these other guys had a break for All-Star. So it's not like they've been in the throes of, 15 games in 28 nights, and they just needed to let off some steam. I mean, they had nothing but time off.